ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be dramatic.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
With D lineup alongside Joe Torti here, 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh Rabick is producing the evening's programming. Michael Fabiano is trying to trade in fantasy football. He's trying to trade with Rich Eisen. He's trying to trade Deshaun Watson and Zach Ertz for Patrick Mahomes.
Wow.
What do you think about that? I think that that is a fair trade.
Yeah.
Reasonably fair, depending on what your tight ends look like. That's an okay trade.
Wait, who has who?
I mean, Rich Eisen has Mahomes.
Oh, okay.
He's giving Mahomes up for Deshaun Watson and Zach Ertz.
Oh, so he is doing it.
No. It's a proposal from Michael Fabiano. I think that that's an okay trade.
Yeah.
It's not that bad.
I can tell you this.
Yes.
Ertz isn't going to have 116 this year.
Yeah, I noticed that they pointed that out on Sunday Night Football. They were talking about him having the most catches in the history of the NFL last year for a tight end. And I thought, yep, but that is just not the whole story. You know, if you watch the season, you saw that it was not a good thing that he had 116 catches.
No. And if this team is going to reach the levels that it aspires to, which I know on this day with all the injuries that you're forced to talk about, doesn't feel the same.
Right.
You know, talking about 12-win season doesn't feel like it in this moment. But if they do want to get to that type of season, the best thing is him not being that guy.
Right. Yeah, that's the truth. Speaking of, not being the same as last year, the Saints, we talked about the Saints not being the same as last year. I've got to say, Dean, now that I've thought about it, I know that we've been kind of gloom and doom on the Eagles. We haven't meant to be that way, but it's just the way that things have gone. It's if they don't get Jalen Ramsey, everything's ruined. The Saints are the only team that I think that I was nervous or hesitant to take on the road. So we were talking about a 12 or a 13 win team not necessarily being in the cards, and perhaps that's true, perhaps it's not true. But now that New Orleans is all banged up and the prospects of visiting the Saints for a playoff game are kind of all but off the table, I just think that head-to-head, the Eagles own the Rams. I think that that's historically been the case.
Yeah, do you still feel that, having seen the way the Rams have played this year?
I think the Rams have looked great. I don't think they've looked better than they did, say, last year, right?
But I don't think the Eagles look like they did when they played the Rams last year.
Fair enough. That's a good point. Dallas, you mentioned that you throw the records out. That's just going to be a tight game either way. I'm trying to think of the other teams in the NFC where it makes a difference that you would go on the road. Chicago.
You don't think the Packers?
Maybe the Packers. It depends on how good you think the Packers are fundamentally.
You said is the fourth week early enough that they're still settling in.
Right, yeah, because they could be by week, effectively 18 or 19.
Yeah.
They could be rolling. But, I mean, it's not all bad. Like, the only place I think that you could not win on the road, period, was New Orleans. I think that was the only spot that you weren't going to win.
And that has changed now.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not that bad. But you do have to survive this.
Would Breeze be back by the time? I don't know the date of when they go there.
I would mean in the playoffs.
Oh, in the playoffs.
Yeah. So if he were going to return, he would definitely be back.
Oh, yeah.
But now it's, you got to survive 2 games.
That wouldn't scare you even with him?
If you had to go, what I'm saying is I don't think the Saints are getting a home game now.
Oh,
that
right,
you've
right,
got,
right. Cause they're right, because he's going to be out. I see what you're saying.
Right. But other than that, like, there's no other place that I think going on the road makes a huge difference, unless it's Lambeau, right? Like, if that's something, I just don't have enough information on how
Minnesota,
how Carson does,
no,
at
because you've had such success there.
Yes. Chicago, right?
You did that last year.
You've gone on the road and beaten LA.
Chicago. A revenge factor there would be
strong.
Happening, yeah.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
I don't think I like their defense, but I don't like the rest of that.
Yeah, well, I don't know what's to like on offense. It's really rough. And then Dallas, doesn't really matter where you play that, I don't think. You know, home or road, that game's just going to be whatever it is. It's not that the Eagles have Dallas wrapped up. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when you're playing a rival
Seattle.
Team. Seattle does look like they're playing for a home playoff game, doesn't it?
And I one, they would just leave early, but you're going corner to corner, basically.
Effectively, yeah.
You know what I mean.
And one of the hardest places to play, period.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That would be the one that...
Yeah. But it all starts with, and I know it's one game at a time, but it all starts with surviving this 2 games in 9 days kind of situation that they've got here.
Does.
And that's why they canceled today's practice, typically the biggest practice day of the week. They've got that laundry list of injuries, and they just turned it into a paced walkthrough.
And by the way, Doug's answer to the why was what had people like, what? What did he say? You know, it's
yeah.
like, well, he brought in the injuries, and then he said the other guys are playing defense, and this gives everybody an opportunity to participate. And it was just all over the place.
It reminded me when I first heard it. People think that when he got here, Doug was kind of like, let's call it what it is, bad with the media.
It was like one of those answers back when he first got here.
The one when he first got here where he was talking about keeping the ball away from Tom Brady, and it's why they weren't running the hurry up in Kansas City during the playoff run when they were down 10. And they were like, well, what were you doing? And he was like, well, I had the play calling duties, and we didn't want to give Tom Brady the ball back. And they were like,
gosh, it went great.
You were down 10. You had to get going. What do you mean give him the ball back? That's what this was. It was like, wait a minute.
What did
take
you,
me through this again?
Yeah.
What?
it almost sounded like he didn't want to answer the question.
Yeah.
And didn't have a real good answer ready. And as a result, kind of went in a circle and hoped nobody would really put
it together.
Put it together.
Josh, do we have that by any chance? Do we have that
Peterson
back and forth Peterson? Where, like, what was he even asked that elicited?
He was
like,
asked, why did you cancel practice?
Yeah. We do have it? Okay, awesome. So this is what Doug said.
Number one, with the guys that are a little nicked up who have a chance to play in this football game, I want them to get the rep in practice. Normally we go a padded day. And then two, we got some young guys that might have to play, and they're also servicing the defense or the offense. And so this way it allows everybody to still practice and maintain their focus and get our work done that we need to get done today.
Servicing the defense and the offense.
And it helped everybody stay focused.
Well, that's important.
By doing a walkthrough, I guess you are more focused than if you put the pads on.
Than an actual practice. I think what I said earlier makes sense about canceling practice, more sense than what Doug said right there, which is to say that you've got young players and you're banged up as it is.
Yeah.
If these guys get hurt, you're starting practice squad guys against the Detroit Lions. Like, that's the answer.
Right.
I know you don't want to throw your guys under the bus, but like that makes way more sense than
what he
whatever
said.
That was.
Yes.
Oh man. I do wonder if I had to face the media every day.
What it would
how
be
many
like?
Of those blow up days that I have? Like how many of those days where I'd be like, yep, Torty just didn't have it today. He's going to try harder tomorrow when it comes to talking to the media. Because that just was bad.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, the one that I'm always at is Sixers. And I always feel like Brett's so good.
Yeah.
At
never
answering.
Has an off day.
And
yeah.
No, he really doesn't. I mean, he may throw something in there that you really, really like.
Right.
You know, and use that soundbite over and over. But by and large, there's nothing that he won't, if he gets annoyed and doesn't want to continue that conversation, he'll just flat out tell you.
Right, yeah. It's like, I don't see the reason to continue down this road or whatever
right,
he
exactly.
says.
Yeah, yeah, and he'll say it.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. It's not an easy thing. And the people who can embrace it, to me, do the best at it.
Right, yeah. Well, that's why I'm fascinated by the, like, for example, Greg Popovich's of the world, who thrive in it in certain situations and hate it. And Andy Reid's the same way. If Andy Reid had to talk to anybody from Philadelphia, it was the worst thing. But like ESPN wants to talk to him or somebody like that, and it's like, you know, jolly old Red. You know what I mean? Like it's
I mean, I yeah. On a daily basis, Big Red was definitely, because I still covered it then. You know, that wasn't ever. And people say, nobody asks any questions. Yeah, we do. He didn't answer it.
He was not interested in talking to anybody locally.
He would answer it however he wanted. He didn't listen to it. I mean, he listened to it. He just wasn't going to answer anything except the way he wanted to answer it.
And it usually started with...
Tonsures.
Well, it definitely started with that.
Injuries were always first.
Injuries were first. But his answers to every question were... Everybody's got to be better starting with me, and I take responsibility for it. Like that's the every single question was
absolutely
starts with me. Let's go to David in Washington Township next on 97.5 The Fanatic. David, what's up, man?
Hey, can you guys hear me okay? Because I'm on the Bluetooth.
So far, so good, David, but you're on thin ice already on this phone call. I got to tell you.
Well, then I'm going to take you off Bluetooth. That's fine. I'm home. I'm going to take you off. Hang on.
Okay.
Is this better?
Yeah, it's way better, man. Thank
you. Really is.
All right, great. All right, good. Okay, I want to enjoy this conversation. So, first things first, I love you two, okay, together, okay? It's really, really fun and interesting. I've called you guys before, but you guys are smart enough that sometimes it becomes one of those things where we want to talk about something because it's like something to talk about. The guys we're talking about starting now with Alshon Jeffries and Deshaun Jackson out are the guys who normally play on the scout team for the defense. So these guys have to prepare the defense and also prepare for the offense. Now he said at one moment in his press conference that he would make sure that there would be some plays they would do it full speed. And I think that one of the strengths of Doug Peterson is getting guys ready. If you think about the Super Bowl season, I mean, we were a mass unit with key players going down for most of the season.
Agreed.
And before Carson, okay? We before Carson, okay? And I think he inherited one of Andy Reid's strengths in how to prepare a team. Because if you remember, Andy Reid may have not won their final game, but we were killers in November and December. I mean, we played really well up until we got to the conference championship.
And after the bye and everything else. But, David, I guess my question there is I would view one of Peterson's strengths as halftime adjustments and getting the team to adapt to what the other team's doing. I don't know how ready they've been for either of the first two games that they played.
I think they're call playing and stuff like that. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about being physically ready in terms of having the players be physically at their best is what I meant.
Mm.
Not the play calling and a plan for the first half. I agree. They need to fix that. I also want to make sure I say something about Carson Wentz in the clutch. But I just want to say one more thing about that is that I don't know.
Sorry to take you off the track, David. My bad.
That's okay. I think that he's talking basically about it. Oh yeah, there was one thing I think they said somebody reported this week that Carson Wentz on the one interception, and you can see his reaction at the interception. He doesn't show up, guys. But clearly, Arcega Whiteside went one way instead of turning in, and that turned out to be an interception because he threw it. And that was clearly a play that you could do with a walkthrough. You don't need to practice that at full speed. That's like a teaching moment where you can say, look, guy turns this way, I'm going to throw it back shoulder. Guy turns that way, you turn it upfield. You don't need a full speed practice for that.
I don't know. I'll give you, my thing was going to be that I think you do need them to run those routes. But if you don't, if you think it's just about walking it.
He did say that they would run some plays that they needed to at full speed. But I'm just saying that was one where it was a critical mistake between the quarterback and the receiver, not only on the same page. And that kind of thing, I don't think you have to do it full speed. It's just a matter of saying, hey, look, quarterbacks turn this way, you go that way.
I guess my thing would be as long as your timing, you know, your count is the same for him as it is for the next guy, then okay, I'll go with you.
Okay, and I know I'm taking a lot of time. So Joe, real quick,
yes.
I know in future conversations you're going to go back and look at this game and say, this is another example of a game that Carson Wentz could have pulled out but didn't. When he got them the lead after they were down, and he
put the pass on the money.
Ball was right in Elson Sagar's hands. I mean, he won't get credit for having brought his team back. But what else can the man do? Throw and catch the ball?
No, he got plenty.
In the fourth quarter, what you were saying you wanted him to prove. He needs to do it more. I get that. But you said, I want to see it. in those cases. Well, he showed it to you in this game. It's not his fault that they got to catch it.
Well, you're right about that. You're 100% right about that. My question, and like you said, he's right on the money. No problem. No argument whatsoever. That was on Nelson Agholor. That was not on Carson Wentz. And, you know, it's not his fault Zach Ertz ran the route short of the sticks either, for that matter, in the fourth quarter. But that doesn't excuse the worst half of football I've ever seen Carson Wentz play in the first half. So that's part of the reason why they were in that position to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you for sure what that was about, but I also say that you go into a game, this game especially, they were probably, given what the problems that Atlanta had trouble with defense against the run, this game especially, I think they were going to do the 12 personnel, which is where they do a lot of their running from. And you blew that up before the game starts. Then one drive in, okay, fine, I'll use my 11 personnel, except their two best receivers
are also absolutely
in are gone.
You talk about a mash unit, David. Thanks for the phone call. They certainly were. They absolutely were 100%. And like I said, the offensive game plan was trashed when you've got those three guys in particular out. I get that.
I get it, but I'm still saying, if he's your best guy and he's considered one of the top five in this league, I'd like to see what somebody else did in the same situation.
Right.
And not have that half that we watched.
Well, so I guess that's what I'm saying, Dee. It's one thing to not be able to get a first down or to not be able to drive your team down the field or whatever because you've got these guys in. It's another thing to do what Carson Wentz did in the first half, where part of it is the wide receivers, yes. But part of it is you threw it to a guy who was sitting on the ground. Like,
yep.
He didn't look comfortable. He didn't look good.
Nope.
I thought he looked way better in the second half. Did all of the rapport and the game planning happen at halftime where they figured everything out in 15 minutes and then all of a sudden they were an offensive team? I find that hard to believe.
And the same thing had happened the week before, that you're making all these adjustments at halftime.
Yes.
And we gave them an excuse because they hadn't played many of their guys during preseason.
But
both halftimes were, okay, let's get it together.
Turning points in the game. Like, I don't know how to measure guys being physically ready versus the game plan being ready. His point, like, I don't know how to
I understand what he was saying about those guys have to serve as the scout team.
Yes, that's true.
I get that. I guess my point, what he valued and Doug values might be different than what I considered to be number one priority. That's basically, it was just a difference of having an opinion on it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm saying, go run these routes. He's saying you don't need to run them. You can walk through them and just talk about them.
Sure.
That's just somebody, I like it one way, you like it the other.
610-632-0975. Yeah, they say that science has proven, a lot of people say the science has proven that mental reps can be as effective as physical reps. And I've never bought into that. Like, I think that it's so, I would need to know how and why that's been proven that could be the case.
Well, I will never join you.
if that were the case, then why do they say muscle memory?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Because if my muscles remembering me walking from point A to point B as opposed to getting there, and a quarterback to a receiver is about timing, then I'm sorry.
Yeah, and sometimes split-second timing relative to the defensive back. 610-632-0975. Greg, we're going to get to you first. I want to give you your full time on the other side of this breather. It's D-Lineup. It's Joe Torty talking Eagles, talking practice. Jalen Ramsey, of course. The trade rumors continue to swirl. With any luck, that'll be a news dump at some point here in the next 40 minutes. We'll bring you all the action right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back. D-Line, I'm Joe Torty, 97.5 The Fanatic. hanging out together until midnight. Open phone line, 610-632-0975. The Twitter reaction has been interesting to the practice situation and the Jalen Ramsey trade scenarios. I do think that we're getting late in this Jalen Ramsey thing, but then again, like, I feel like this season, more than any season that I can remember, D, more NFL news is broken later, like at NBA hours, than I can remember.
You actually feel like it's going to break tonight?
No, I don't. I don't feel that way, but I do feel like over the course of the season so far, there have been a lot of things that have come out at like midnight or like 1 a.m. Eastern time or something like that. And I'm just used to that by, you know, from Adrian Wojnarowski putting stuff out at like 3:17 a.m., you know, that you got to be awake for, which I wonder sometimes if he's just trolling because he knows that people have the alerts on their phones and, you know, they're waiting for info. But it does bring up an interesting question. Does this thing happen tonight because of the game tomorrow, which is something that you pointed out
that I just considered. If something's close, he's not going to be in that lineup tomorrow because that would be an absolute on the part of the buyer. You cannot have him out there. Otherwise, right. We're done.
Yeah, exactly. It's
having
a non-starter.
Conversation. Yeah. So, but if he's out there, then it means right now, nothing's good enough for the Jaguars. In terms of deals on the table.
Yeah, the offers.
Yep.
610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. Greg in New Hope's next on The Fanatic. What's up, Greg?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How are you?
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me on. Look, a couple points I wanted to talk about. One was the Frank Reich factor.
Yes.
And then the other thing is, just to disagree with the previous caller in that I do agree in the sense that a walkthrough is fine in terms of the mental rec. So you're getting what you're saying, you're communicating, it's a learning experience the whole bit. But honestly, football is about the achievement, the speed. The receiver's got to figure out how fast he can run the route. The quarterback's got to feel that route. The receiver's got to get a sense of how fast the ball's coming in. I mean, there's all kinds of things, and the only way you can really build chemistry between guys who haven't, you know, who weren't planning to play, you know, together, you know, they're all like, you know, subs.
Yeah.
You know, that takes that, you know, you can create chemistry only in practice, honestly. Like, that's my perspective. However, like, who am I to argue with Doug? Like, you know, he knows his football team, like, the whole bit, and let him do what he wants. I'm not going to second guess, a Super Bowl coach, but from the outside, like, you know, like D was just saying, muscle memory is not for nothing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You learn how to chew because you keep repeating it, you know?
I agree. So, I mean, that. But again, I'm with you. I'm not going to judge what Doug wants to do is his business. I was just saying, from my perspective, I would value them having those reps for the very things that you just pointed out.
And I totally agree. And to go to your point, Joe, when you're talking about preparation, I totally agree. Like, honestly, like, you think about 17 and the way they were coming out of the gate, and it was bang, bang, boom, and they'd be scoring, and they were the top team in the league.
Yeah, teams didn't even know what was happening. You're right.
Yeah. And now it's like, you know, it's the second year in a row. It's definitely a trend at this point. Because, you know, we started that last year that way, and we're continuing this year the exact same way. I think when I watch it, I've been, you know, I was at the home game, the opener, and just kind of observing, the play calling, it's too exotic. You know, like, Doug prides himself on having this exotic West Coast hybrid type, you know, offense. And I think part of the problem is that, you know, they've got to build chemistry. That takes a little time. You got to simplify it. Just like when Malcolm, you know, went to gym last year, said, "Hey, oh, the Super Bowl year, so we got to dumb it down a little bit." I think it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you see a backup quarterback come in and ignite the offense because they're calling simple plays, that's just easier to execute. Like, don't use the exotic version of the West Coast offense right out of the gate. Like, use it like a Philly play early on. You know, do the basics, run simple routes. Get in a rhythm, because that exotic stuff works when the team's hot. You know what I mean? When everybody's warmed up.
Yeah, you got the other team tilted.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I see it right off the bat. The routes are so complex. It takes forever, and everybody's complaining that that Carson's not letting the ball go quick. Listen, honestly, you should see these routes like in person. Like, you go, are you serious? He's got to wait for that play to develop forever.
Right.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Greg, so, you're right about that. And thanks for the phone call, man. So to call it the Frank Reich factor like you did, Reich was in charge of designing the scripted play segments to begin the game. Like I said, Mike Groh might be a great offensive coordinator. I don't know. What I know is if he's in charge of scripted plays at the beginning, like in the first quarter, he stinks at that. He's really, if he's involved in that, he's not good at that because it's not working and the team is performing in the second half.
And I would say this, if you're Doug, at some point, you know, you got to do something about it.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, you can't continue. Although, you know what, D, why not? We said that last season. We said you cannot allow this thing to continue. and they did. So why the change now?
Well, because the results aren't good enough.
I mean, you're preaching to the choir right yep. there. 610-632-0975. D in Fort Washington. One D to another, I'm assuming. What's going on, D?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great.
I think that last caller was on to something. I think it's kind of like when you're a child and you might be from a one family home, Christmas comes and it's just you or your mom and you get a couple of gifts. Well, this year, Doug is like the kid with both parents and grandma and grandpa comes to town on Christmas and he has a lot of gifts. And now he doesn't know which to play with first. You know, do I open the G.I. Joes? Do I open the cards? Like, he's all over the place with it. Instead of initiating something and getting it started. He doesn't know if he wants to go to this guy. I mean,
so what's
no
the fix? How do you juggle that, D?
You have to simplify things. You have to figure out what you want to do. How do you want to get it started? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
well, statistically, he in this first quarter, he has run the ball 60%. No, he's passed the ball 60% of the time. And then that number increases as the game goes on. And overall, he passes second, third, and fourth combined 65% of the time.
Right. And you can't run the ball because you never established a run.
Well, and you're also coming from behind.
And you got your team into a rhythm. It's really weird. Like, you know what I mean? You have to establish something. You got to hang your hat somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, last week, it was just a snowball effect. You know, Deshaun gets hurt, which drops the safety in the box. They plan on two tight ends, which you could run out of that set, but that got blown up. So now Atlanta realized how bad they got run over the week before. So now they're changing things up. Now we can't run the ball. They don't know the patterns or they're not the timing. Which leads us to my point about the practice. You can have a practice, sure. But now, if one of those wide receivers tweaks a hamstring in practice, where are you then?
Right.
We got two games and 5 days. They can take a practice off. Just calm down. Get your mental right. You can practice tomorrow. You know what I mean? It's not the end of the world. You have to look at the big picture. You can't run them dudes to death in practice like, oh, God, we got to get this time. And you don't have anybody to throw to Sunday.
Right. You're not ready to go when the game comes around. Good stuff, man. Thanks for the phone call, D. And that's where the balance comes in because, I mean, he's obviously right where you do have a balancing act to work with.
Because of your injuries.
Yeah, when you're injured, banged up. But to your point that you were saying earlier, you really do have to get these guys ready to go from a route running perspective.
Again, I hear him. He's like, you know, if one of them pulls a hammy, you know, sure. I hear you. But if, in fact, they don't look like a well-oiled machine or it looks sloppy, I don't want these people calling back
right.
next Monday and saying, Well, if they had just practiced and not done the walkthrough, maybe they would have looked sharper. Well, that's fine. I'm not saying it's the wrong thing. I'm just saying it's obviously it can go either way.
Well, that's why I'm proudly consistent on my Carson Wentz should not have played at all in the preseason stance, because I said the whole time the first half of the first game is going to be ugly as all get out, and you got to do it to make sure that he survives to make it to the regular season. It's a necessary evil. But I agree. If you come back and you're like, hey, they weren't ready to go because they did walkthrough and stuff like that, but you would have been complaining if somebody tweaked an ankle or something like that, you know, that says more about you than it says about the Eagles. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Yeah, the Detroit Lions, I have to say, like, and I don't mean this with any disrespect at all, they have, like, six guys on their defensive starters that I've heard of, which is to say that there are five that I haven't heard of, and I work in the industry.
Whoa.
As I throw my microphone on the ground.
I noticed. I was like, whoa, have him upset at
this. That's my mic drop moment.
Yes, exactly.
It's not going to, like, they're not world beaters over there either, but it does make you wonder, like, handle Mac Hollins and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside? Yeah, right. Maybe.
I'm not saying they're world beaters at all.
Right.
I think they know who they are, though. Right?
Yeah.
And I think when you know who you are and you see a team that's, quote, struggling combined with banged up.
Yes.
I would just know that Detroit Lions team is coming in smelling that. This possibly something we thought was going to be way uphill of a battle. I now smell that we have a chance.
Yeah.
That's all I would be aware of.
Well, so let's see. I'll save it because I want to get to the calls and everything else as well when we return. But I also want to give the odd shark matchup with the computer simulation, the Lions against the Eagles, obviously coming up shortly. 610-632-0975. It's D-Line, Joe Torty, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Inquirer must love themselves some Phillies right now. It's D-Line, Joe Torty, 97.5 The Fanatic. This headline that they write for the Phillies beating the Braves is Phillies beat Braves 4-1. Keep faint playoff dreams alive. Damn, man. Yeah, Zach Eflin turning into ace Zach Eflin right at the right time. All kinds of good stuff going on there. You keeping the playoff dreams alive. You're watching the Chicago game now. You're locked in.
Plus, according to Matt Klintak, it's about how many wins.
Jeez.
So Gabe's shared with his club, and it's about how many wins, and now they got two in a row.
I'm just saying. I'm learning what the Inquirer wants you to think about the Phillies. I'm reading these headlines. And I'm learning the direction that you're being urged. I don't think they have a whole lot of faith in the Phils, D, and their ability to keep the playoff dreams alive.
Well, come on. There's 12 left, and it's still 4.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got to watch Chicago tonight.
And there's still 3 teams in front of you.
Yeah. Now, you're playing some of those teams, but that is true, of course.
Oh, I wasn't even counting Washington.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah. 610-632-0975. You would, yeah, right. You have to make up the ground. You have to sweep it.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, this is good practice. They've got 2 against the Braves right now.
Yeah, there you go. I cannot believe that they have a winning record against the Braves. That's amazing this season. I think they're 10-8 against the Braves, 7-9 against Miami. Outrageous. Ike in Burlington's next on the Fanatic. What's up, Ike?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
How are you?
Oh, and yourself. I think I heard a couple callers back. You guys were discussing the 2017 season and the form Carson wasn't there. And, you know, they were, I hear a lot of people say this. It's a misconception to say they were getting on teams early and they were scoring a lot of points. If you remember, the first six games of that season, first five games of that season, they were all tight games. They started out with the Redskins. They had a five-point lead until Fletcher Cox hit Kirk Cousins. Then they ended up winning by like 13, I believe. They lost to the Chiefs. Then they had a real close game against the Chargers, week three. They had the walk-off field goal with Jake Elliott, week four. And then week five, you saw a little bit of fireworks. They beat the Cardinals, I think, like 34 or 37. Right. So, like, they easily could have been 1-4, 0-5. Like, they were one-possession games all them games. So it did take them a couple weeks to get their footing, and I'm not saying that this season reminds me of that, but Carson Wentz's early struggles is, I'm trying to figure out, is this a Carson Wentz thing? Is this a Doug Peterson thing? I know Frank Reich hasn't been here in 2 years, you know, that, and John DeFilippo, that could be, you know, the obvious missing ingredient, but what is, like, I just don't understand these slow starts, and it's like, it's not just offense, it's a defensive thing too. Like last week, the defense gave up 20 first half points to the Redskins. If Matt Ryan doesn't turn the ball over like he does, it could have been 16-17 first half points to the Falcons. It's not just like an offensive thing. It's like a team thing to me. I just wanted to get your guys' take on that.
Well, I mean, yeah, we've been saying that it's not just players or coaches. It just seems to be an identity of the team since that Super Bowl season. Because, I mean, I remember especially the Chargers game, they at least got off to a faster start in that game. And I agree that it wasn't all smooth sailing like it was by the end of the season. But last year, this year, the slow starts have been emblematic of who the Eagles are, quite frankly, at this point, Ike.
And you remember in 2017, the first 2 weeks of the season, it was like LeGarrette Blount was playing like the Ryan Moats role.
Yeah.
Like he getting 3 to 5 touches, 4 to 6 touches. And then that Chargers game, which you just brought up, they really started running the ball.
Yes.
And, you know, then they make the trade for Ajayi and, you know, they balance things out really, really nice. I don't, like, there's no way being a former quarterback. And I told my sister the other day, what surprises me, you got a guy like Deuce Staley in that building where he's pretty respected, you know, respected enough
sure.
where it's not just us, the fans, but they made him the assistant head coach. You, like, he's not in Doug's ear saying, yo, bro, like, you know, I know we got Carson Wentz. I know we can throw the ball. And that, but what's the point of going out and getting Jordan Howard or drafting Miles Sanders? You know, bringing Darren Sproles back
sure.
1 year. Like, run the ball. Like, I just don't.
Oh, yeah. In between, like, that Kansas City and Chargers game, thanks for the phone call, was Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz going to the media, and I assume also to Doug Peterson, saying, we need to run the ball more. Like, we just need to have more balance on offense. And then they did. They ran the ball, I think, like 8 or 9 straight times to begin the game against the Chargers. So sometimes it does take these big pushback moments. I don't know if Deuce Staley's in position to do that or not, but it does take these moments where it's like, you got to change something here because things aren't working the way that we hope they would.
They ran the ball 42 times in that Chargers game.
42 times. There you
go. Just thought I'd share.
Yeah. I mean, and look, people laugh at me because they call me old all the time. Because
my God, LeGarrette Blount ran for 136 himself.
How many totes did he have?
16.
Yeah. So they went not just with Blount. They went all over the place.
Yeah.
Run the ball, stop the run, win the turnover battle. That's
by the way,
win.
In that game, they scored 10 first quarter points.
Yes.
Prior to that, their season opener was against, you said, Washington?
Yes.
They had scored a touchdown in the first quarter. But those two games in between, one time they didn't put any points on the board in the first quarter, and the other game against the Giants, they kicked a field goal.
Right, okay. So they were alternating. They had 7 against Washington, nothing against the Chiefs.
Right, 3 against the Giants.
Well, the Giants was after, right? So it was the Chargers game was week 3, and the Giants game was week 4?
No, it was the opposite.
It was the opposite?
Yeah, it was Giants and then Chargers.
Yeah, I'm losing my mind.
That's all right.
That's all right. That's why I've got you here, to keep me honest. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. But yes, the transition became pretty complete by the time that Chargers game rolled around. The Jake Elliott field goal. Man, remember when you felt really good about Jake Elliott kicking field goals at the end of games?
Yeah, those days are gone, right?
Yeah, those days are long behind us at this point. And of course, we want to get more into this walkthrough versus practice kind of situation. Chris is going to lead us off when we return. 610-632-0975. Also on the table, until there is a Jalen Ramsey trade, it's going to be a topic of conversation, justifiably. So when you're a team that has Super Bowl aspirations like the Eagles do, you're looking at every possible option. Jalen Ramsey, certainly one of the most attractive options for a lot of teams that are going to be competing for the Lombardi Trophy. Do you want him still? What's the price? Is it too high? And does the fit make sense in the locker room and on the field? And finally, Phillies beat the Braves 4-1. Gabe Kapler, winning all important, is addressing the media. He's talking to people and everything else. Looks like he's feeling pretty good. And Zach Eflin had a pretty decent outing as well. So lots to get into in the final hour. It's D-Lineham, Joe Torti. You can join the conversation with 610-632-0975 being your lifeline. We'll be right back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.